Anu. Anu is the king of the Anunnaki, who are those on planet Nibiru, father to those sons who came down to Earth. So as Alalu escapes his fate, waiting for him on Nibiru for assassinating the king, he escaped the Earth colony and to Earth. And when he arrives there, he looks around and he sees that there's gold, and things are right for them to easily come establish a base and start mining the gold. He thinks it's going to put him as the hero of the planet. He who saves the planet should be king. So he's going to challenge Anu for kingship. He radios back to Nibiru, lets him know that he's there on Earth. He flew through the Forbidden Zone, and he discovered gold, lots of it. Well, Anu decides that he's just not going to take him for his word, so he sends his eldest son and wisest son, Enki, to come down and take a look, see if what Alalu is saying is accurate. So off he goes. Enki and his pilot, as they come to the asteroid belt, they blast a hole through there for passage, a safe passage. He uses a water cannon to gently move the asteroids out of his way. And he sees Mars, and he stops there briefly and doesn't see much value there, except maybe just traveling back and forth. Anyway, he goes on to Earth and lands in the Persian Gulf, by southern Iraq today, and swims to shore and sees Alalu there waiting for him on shore. Well, he checks things out on Earth and goes, by God, everything is workable for them to come in, establish a base, and mine the gold. So he radios back to his father, King Anu, and says, yes, what he says is true. Well, King Anu decides, well, I think I'll take a look at this myself and we'll figure out what to do. So he comes down and brings his son and heir to the throne after him, and his name is Enlil. The Greeks, much later on, they called him Zeus, so maybe that name rings a bell. So anyway, Enlil is appointed to be in charge of the base to be established there on Earth. Alalu looks around. Yes, the air is good. Yes, the sweet waters are good. Yes, there is food growing on trees. Yes, there is good soil for planting vegetables and other trees. Everything seems to be right. And some of the gold is laying on the surface, which is easily gathered, and the rest of it will have to be mined. So he goes, yes, I agree. By God, this will work. Well, that's when Alalu jumps out and says, well, that should make me king. And Anu with his sons are going, no, no. And he keeps pushing the issue, and by God, he should be awarded somehow for saving the planet by finding the gold, where all the other kings prior have failed at that. Gold is needed to patch the hole they blew in their atmosphere is leaking out this hole thanks to the wars they had trying to successfully form into a one world order. So Anu is the king of the entire planet. So Anu checks it out and says, okay, let's settle this once and for all, Anzu. And a wrestling match is agreed upon, winner take all. I guess the wrestling was the sport that they used to prove this or that. Anyway, that's what they do. And you could see the wrestling artifacts on Alalu's page. The match takes place and they throw each other around and it's getting more and more brutal. And as Alalu starts to wear down, he reaches for Anu's man parts and he bites off his manhood, which is balls. And then swallows him, ending Anu's chance to produce any more offspring. Well, that's it. Enlil had enough. He calls foul, and Alalu is to be executed for that. And Enlil has his son, Ninurta, execute him. And after the execution, they have his body flown to Mars and buried off site, so he's out of the way. So his pilot, Anzu, takes the body to Mars. Andrew, loyal to Alalu, decides, well, I'll make a tomb and the image of Alalu's face and have that tomb constantly facing Earth, looking down to the planet that will be used to save Nibiru, their home planet. And kind of a last screw you to Anu, I guess. So the face on Mars, which is later discovered, is Alalu's face and Alalu's tomb. Later, Anzu is buried there as well. Anyway, while before the wrestling match, Anu and sons Inki and Enlil were trying to figure out how they would get this operation going. So it was agreed upon that the base would be established right there between the rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. And there were two other ancient rivers, one on each side, making it the four rivers, between the four rivers, then emptied into the Persian Gulf. So that was fertile land there between those rivers and an excellent spot. Enlil, just a little further up the River Euphrates, established his home base and his house in Nippur. He is to receive 300 workers. Enki would be tasked with picking up the gold ore that's laying on the surface of Earth, and then later doing the extremely hard work of mining. And there would be another crew that would be on Mars that would set up a way station there. The way station would serve as a drop-off point to their planet as it orbited through, which is just on the outside. So as Nibiru comes around every 3,600 years and crosses right through our solar system, just outside of Mars, outside of the asteroid belt, it's much simpler to traffic things to Nibiru and things back from Nibiru from the way station there on Mars. So the plan is there would be 300 workers given to Enki to do the mining, which was difficult work. And that was, they discovered the best mines would be in South Africa. Another 300 would be given to Enlil, who would establish a subsistence area where farming and raising the animals to be slaughtered to eat, which would be sheep and cows, and grow vegetables there, dig the canals for irrigation, build the ships, and, you know, set up manufacturing of clothes and just everything that's needed to exist would all be established in the land between the rivers, the Eden. And Anu, the king, would be back on Nibiru running things. King Anu is there. His son and heir, Enlil, is the, his word is final on Earth colony. They establish a colony. And Enlil is the boss. Whatever Enlil says goes. And his older half-brother, Enki, is stuck in the mines. So Enlil gets busy getting right to it, doing his thing. I mean, that's a lot of work, what he had to do from scratch, putting all that together. Enki, working their butts off, gathering the gold ore. Now, they would ship that gold ore on up to the Eden, where Enlil's crew would smelt it down to pure gold, getting rid of most of the weight, making it much easier to ship, of course. And they would ship it, once they got a load together, ship it to Mars. On Mars, Enki's eldest son, Marduk, was tasked with setting up warehouses and a base to act as a way station. They would store that gold there. He had 300, and those 300 would construct what's needed on Mars, as well as because the space truckers picking it up from Earth colony. And then as Planet Nibiru would come by, they'd empty the warehouse, shipping the refined pure gold to Planet Nibiru, which is a short distance, much shorter than if they were on any other planet. And then, of course, they would pick up supplies from Nibiru and ship it back, stopping and warehousing some of it there on Mars, and then delivering it to Earth colony as needed. So you got 300 on Mars. You've got 300 in the garden, in the Eden, and you've got 300 down South Africa mining the gold. Now, when problems would arise that Enlil couldn't solve, such as many thousand Earth years go by, Enki's workers decide they need some replacements. So they request replacements from Enlil. I guess after checking with his father, Anu, comes back and says, no replacements. We've got to do it ourselves. There'll be no fresh workers rotated in and out. So the boys down there doing the mining decided, well, Enlil, why don't we swap? Our 300 will go up there and work in the Eden, and your 300 can come down here and relieve us. That's the only fair way to share the burden, the toil, the back-breaking work, which, you know, is really in both locations, but more so doing the mining. Enlil says no to that idea, so the guys down in Africa decide they're going on strike, and they throw down their tools and they march on Enlil, literally march on his ziggurat, his home in Nippur. And as they're coming, there's a lot of noise and commotion going on. Enlil finally decides to find out what this is. And lo and behold, these workers are down there demanding that Enlil trade places. Enlil's got a problem because there's going to be a riot. And that just won't work too well for Enlil. So Enlil calls his father and asks him, the king, will you come down and make a decision here? Because we've got a problem. So Anu comes down one of the few times that he returns, but he comes down and sees the problem is serious and decides, well, what we'll do is he and sons Enlil and Enki will draw straws to see what task each of them will take. The long straw will go back to Nibiru and rule it as acting king. The medium straw will go to the Eden and keep the base rolling smoothly, and the short straw gets stuck with the mining. So they agree on it. Anu probably fixed it, but what happens is Anu draws the long one and he goes back as the king. should do. He's back on the planet running things. Enlil draws the medium's draw, so he goes back to the Eden with his group of workers, and nothing has changed because Inky's got the short straw and he's stuck in the mines again. Oh my God. Well, that's when Inky had had enough. He decided that he'd develop some kind of worker to at least lighten the load and take the load off the gods and put it on one of these animals. So he starts trying to modify animals, and that's where you get the half this and half that weird looking things. And none of them seem to work out right. And then he gets with his sister, and then Herzog, and they come up with an idea, and you'll have to go to Inky's page to discover what they do. But anyway, when you're looking at the slideshow there, you see Anu in a flying saucer here and there. You'll see him sometimes with his sons, Enlil and Inky, and sometimes not. This slideshow is of artifacts, real artifacts, that were discovered between the rivers and in the cities that were established there. So as you go through the slideshow, and by the way, you can fast forward the slideshow, and there are arrows to the right and an arrow to the left for going backwards and forwards. As you go through the slideshow, you'll see Anu in his flying saucer, which is depicted as a disc with wings. The wings are simply there to show you that this disc is flying. And then you'll see someone, their nail image there on the disc. And that's depicting Anu inside the disc flying, which is how they got from their planet to Earth colony. As we go through this, you'll see many artifacts with a flying disc and somebody in it. Then you'll see pictures of Anu. These are real artifacts. Let's see what else we come up with. There's Anu and Olalu doing their wrestling, dirty fight that it is. You can see these artifacts and diagrams of artifacts. And then you'll see Anu in a parade. Another time he visits Earth, you'll see Anu with what amounts to Adam and Eve. Giant god, King Anu, sitting on the throne with small earthlings, female and male, standing before him. Quite a difference between the giants from Nibiru and the earthlings that came much later. Anu, as he was thought of by the Greeks and the Romans. Then there are different texts and quotes and things under King Anu overview. You kind of get what I'm saying here. You know, it's pretty much information about him, and it's just an overview about Anu. Going back to his page, you're scrolling down, you'll see a bunch of texts that were discovered. Archaeologists, as they were digging in southern Iraq, they were discovering these cities and thousands of texts and artifacts. There on the left, you see the items in the dirt, and on the right, you see the texts stacked and organized in a library, ancient library. Then there are many texts concerning Anu as you scroll down. I truly suggest you read those. And then there is Anu's eight-pointed star symbol. There's a slideshow pointing out the eight-pointed star on many, many artifacts. That is the symbol of Anu. So whenever you see an eight-pointed star, and you'll find them often in churches, synagogues, everywhere, mosques, in all kinds of shapes and forms, an eight-pointed star. Just like you would find a 12-pointed star, which is the symbol of planet Nibiru, when you look at a clock. Every time you look at a clock, you're looking at a 12-pointed star. So anyway, here's many, many artifacts of showing the 8-pointed star symbol. Also, there's, if you notice, there's a crown of animal horns that they wear. Anytime you see a crown of animal horns, you know that it's a giant god or Anunnaki who's from Nibiru. That's not a king. That would be one of them. And now these Anunnaki, they stand 14 feet thereabouts. That's pretty big, and God knows what they weigh, but they are no doubt not to be messed with by anybody on Earth. You will see that the kings who came later, who are mixed breeds, they would stand around 8 to 10 feet tall, while the Earthling would be 4 to 5 feet tall. You'll see those artifacts on other pages. So as you see different artifacts with the eight-pointed star and different artifacts with Anu's crown, it's a crown with many, many rows of animal horns. So it's a tall crown. Then as you scroll down, you'll see modern objects that have the eight-pointed star, whether it be on flags or in mosques, churches, synagogues. It's on many things, many, many things, in many religions, the Buddhists, you know, it just goes on and on, the Christians. Look at the Pope's garb, and you'll see that on the shawl that he wears, at the bottom of that is the eight-pointed star. That is King Anu's symbol. There's also a Nibiru cross. That is not a Jesus cross. In the middle of that eight-pointed star on the Pope, that's the symbol of their planet that crosses through our solar system. That's a symbol of Nibiru, just like the 12-pointed star is, and the 8-pointed star, the symbol of King Anu. Come down a little bit further and you see Anu's royal crown of animal horns. There's artifacts that'll give you that. By the way, there's a text that tells the tale of Enki, once he's established Adam and Eve, or the Adapa and Titi, whatever they called them, but they, Enki, had them sent to Nibiru to meet King Anu. And that's where you see that artifact of King Anu seated on the throne with the small earthlings, today we would call Adam and Eve. That artifact is very interesting, as is many of these artifacts in many of these texts. Not all of them will strike your interest, but some will definitely pique your interest, such as the eight-pointed star on Masonic items. It was the Masons who rediscovered that the Anunnaki were on Earth in those days, and possibly still. You'll see artifacts of the Masons. You'll also see, and for instance, there's George Washington's apron. And in that apron, you would see an eight-pointed star. You would see the eye, all-seeing, all-knowing eye, and many other Masonic symbols. That's George Washington. So our nation is founded in the knowledge of the Anunnaki, as well as the Greeks, the Romans, the Phoenicians, the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, the Egyptians, the Vikings, the Mayans, every civilization. As you take a look, as the artifacts and the modern day items scroll by, the eight-pointed star is found even in the not in the crop circles, detailed crop circles that man wasn't able to do at that time. Also, you'll see the eight-pointed star there in the Buddhist mandala. It's everywhere, and every time it's referring to King Anu from the planet Nibiru, the planet that crosses through and comes by just on the outside of the asteroid belt every 3,600 years. So that means on Earth, an Earthling would age 3,600 revolutions or orbits or years, while the Anunnaki would orbit one time. So we age 3,600 years while they age 1 year. The gods who came down must be God. They're immortal, must be, although they're not, but they sure seem that way to us.